Violet was the first to reach Coach Genghis, and she stretched her arm out as far as she could, grabbing part of his turban. Turbans, you probably know, consist of just one piece of cloth, wrapped very tightly and in a complicated way around someone's head. But Genghis had cheated, not knowing the proper way to tie a turban, because he was wearing it as a disguise and not for religious reasons. He had merely wrapped it around his head the way you might wrap a towel around yourself when getting out of the shower, so when Violet grabbed the turban, it unraveled immediately. She had been hoping that grabbing his turban would stop the coach from running, but all it did was leave her with a long piece of cloth in her hands. Coach Genghis kept running, his one eyebrow glistening with sweat over his shiny eyes.
"Look,"
Mr. Poe said, who was far behind the Baudelaires but close enough to see.
"Genghis has only one eyebrow, like Count Olaf."
Sunny was the next Baudelaire to reach Genghis, and because she was crawling on the ground, she was in a perfect position to attack his shoes. Using all four of her sharp teeth, she bit one pair of his shoelaces and then the other. The knots came undone immediately, leaving tiny, bitten pieces of shoelace on the brown lawn. Sunny had been hoping that untying his shoes would make the coach trip, but Genghis merely stepped out of his shoes and kept running. Like many disgusting people, Coach Genghis was not wearing socks, so with each step his eye tattoo glistened with sweat on his left ankle.
"Look,"
Mr. Poe said, who was still too far to help but close enough to see.
"Genghis has an eye tattoo, like Count Olaf. In fact, I think he is Count Olaf."
"Of course he is," Violet cried, holding up the unraveled turban.
"Merde,"
Sunny shrieked, holding up a tiny piece of shoelace. She meant something like, "That's what we've been trying to tell you." Klaus, however, did not say anything. He was putting all of his energy toward running, but he was not running toward the man we can finally call by his true name, Count Olaf. Klaus was running toward the car. The powder-faced women were just shoving the quagmires into the back seat, and he knew this might be his only chance to rescue them.
"Klaus! Klaus!"
Isadora cried as he reached the car. Klaus dropped the notebooks to the ground and grabbed his friend's hand.
"Help us!"
"Hang on!"
Klaus cried and began to drag Isadora back out of the car. Without a word, one of the powder-faced women leaned forward and bit Klaus's hand, forcing him to let go of the triplet. The other powder-faced woman leaned across Isadora's lap and began pulling the car door closed.
"No!"
Klaus cried and grabbed the door handle. Back and forth, Klaus and Olaf's associate tugged on the door, forcing it halfway open and halfway shut.
"Klaus!"
Duncan cried from behind Isadora.
"Listen to me, Klaus. If anything goes wrong..."
"Nothing will go wrong,"
Klaus promised, pulling on the car door as hard as he could.
"You'll be out of here in a second."
"If anything goes wrong,"
Duncan said again, "there's something you should know. When we were researching the history of Count Olaf, we found out something dreadful."
"We can talk about this later,"
Klaus said, struggling with the door.
"Look in the notebooks,"
Isadora cried.
"The..."
The first powder-faced woman put her hand over Isadora's mouth so she couldn't speak. Isadora turned her head roughly and slipped from the woman's grasp.
"The..."
The powdery hand covered her mouth again.
"Hang on,"
Klaus called desperately.
"Hang on! Look in the notebooks! VFD!"
Duncan screamed, but the other woman's powdery hand covered his mouth before he could continue.